Welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals to talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And you recognize him, Dr. Travis Yates, retired major from the Tulsa Police Department. And thanks so much for being back on the show, Doctor. Also, a shout out to our sponsors. And guys, please support our sponsors. They go to the great lengths to bring this quality content to you. We've got Gauls, our title sponsor at Gauls.com. Also, ComplianTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. And yes, thanks to them, we're on satellite radio. AeroPrecisionUSA.com, our armed sponsor. We also have GunLearn.com, MyMedicare.live, SafeguardRecruiting.com. Thanks to them, we're streaming to over a million followers right now during the live show. Also, TwoBells.com, they built a new online store at LeoRoundtable.com, and you can get cool shirts like what I'm wearing, and FishOrlandoBass.com. And hey, this is one of the best kept secrets, FishOrlandoBass.com. They're in Orlando, of course, so when you're taking the wife and the kids or the grandkids to Disney, just keep the car in gear, let off the brake, and hook up with Zach and do bass fishing in his fishing charter. Or if you're feeling more adventurous, you can do the alligator hunting and catch and release alligators, or I should say catch and relocate alligators in Florida. So it's a pretty good opportunity. FishOrlandoBass.com. Also, a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com and Ray Dietrich, former lawman.com. And yes, our very own Dr. Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make this show happen. And now, what in the world are we going to be talking about today? You know, I'm going to start up with the main topics because, of course, well, we have one, but they have a tendency to be a little bit deeper. Trump's DOJ finds evidence. You guys aren't going to believe this. The Democrats are skewing crime stats ahead of the midterm elections. Why in the world would they be doing that? And then we have a Kansas woman sentenced after her child finds her loaded gun, fatally shoots a seven-year-old boy. I want to cover that because it's a good little reminder to be responsible gun owners. Lenexa Police Department releases a 911 call and body cam from a June incident that left the guy dead. We got Toronto officer pleads guilty. And this is an interesting story. When a cop decides to plead guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in a shooting that left the guy injured, we've also got Minneapolis sheriff stating that the state's attorney general memo on cooperating with federal agencies is intimidation. We got a body cam showing the Indianapolis Police Department. This officer shoots a suspect who kills two people over a $40 dispute. We've also got two deputies in Florida fired for basically double dipping. You know, they're messing around with the time cards and working off duty and on company time. Man with a large hatchet fatally shot by Phoenix officers outside of IHOP of all places. Then a driver in a stolen car. This guy gets the grappler and he tries to run away. And I've never seen an axle come off a car like that before. A rear axle. That was just pretty wild. So if you're ready, Dr. Travis, let's start up with the main topic, NewYorkPost.com. So Trump's DOJ finds evidence the Dems are skewing crime stats ahead of the midterm elections. And Travis, I were talking before the show started that I've been just scratching my head on some of the stats they've been giving out lately. Just doesn't make sense, right? In these blue jurisdictions, they're saying crime is all of a sudden dropping. And yeah, sure enough, officials in the President Trump's Justice Department found evidence that Democratic politicians have been skewing crime stats for their own benefit just ahead of the midterm elections. And so we're going to start off talking about Illinois Democratic Governor J.B. Pritzker. You know, he hates Trump and doesn't like the National Guard coming in. He's a vocal opponent of Trump and the federal troops. And he's not going to like this news at all. But he's lately touted double-digit declines in the Chicago crime rates. Double-digit declines. And, you know, other than the National Guard being there, but he's saying it's not due to that. But that's where shootings and homicides on our highways are down 60, 70, 80%, depending on where you look. But the number of felonies in Chicago, not to mention New York, Los Angeles, and Portland, Oregon, they're declining only because, and get this, woke prosecutors, they're dropping felony charges and they're replacing them with misdemeanor charges and for political reasons, according to the DOJ. And also Alvin Bragg, you guys remember him, the Manhattan district attorney who continued to allow violent offenders to plead the misdemeanors instead of felonies, even after committing robberies and violent assault. So that's the reason. And then lastly, we have a quote saying that if these public officials were CEOs who purposely manipulated losses in the earnings, they would face serious criminal fraud charges. And that's according to one Trump DOJ official who asked not to be quoted by name. But they took the quote. Travis Yates, what do you think about this?
Well, first and foremost, there should be criminal charges for this. If people don't know this, crime stats are reported to the FBI through a program called NIBRS. It's almost seamless. It's automated. It changed around 2021. And there was a little bit of hiccup in that first year, but it's running smooth now. And so that's a federal form. And so if people are lying on a federal form, that's obviously an offense. And I bet the Trump administration is looking at that. But it's even more egregious than that, right? The citizens deserve to know where they live, what crime is. It's taxpayer funded to put law enforcement and public safety in place. And for them to be lying about it for obviously political gain, and it did make sense. I mean, let our lying eyes tell us this, right, Chip? I mean, we all know crime's not being reduced. By the way, I would say when crime spikes 40-50%, you know, in violent crime in 2020, and then all of a sudden in 2022, they're bragging it's down 5 or 6%. I sort of believe that one. But this annual being reduced in crime when they're not doing anything to actually reduce crime never made sense. Now, I'll give you one stat that is probably why this is happening. We've seen officer assaults at an all-time high. It's actually gone up. It's increased from 2020 to 2024, the latest year we have in stats. It's increased every single year. That's sort of an anomaly. We don't typically see that. You know, it's like with most data, you'll see it up and down. Well, it's been increasing every year since 2020, peaking in 2024, where it's approximately about 50% higher than it was just about 6 or 7 years earlier. So it's the last year, people don't know this, the highest number of officer assaults. Meanwhile, the politicians are telling us in these cities where this has happened, our violent crime's going down. See, that doesn't compute. Officer assaults don't go up as violent crime goes down, because officer assaults occur when you engage with violent criminals and they then, of course, assault law enforcement. So none of that makes any sense. I'm supposed to believe that violent crime's down. There's about 20% fewer officers on the streets in most of these major cities. But at the same time, officer assaults have skyrocketed. When I say skyrocket, Virginia's 120%. A bunch of states are off the charts as far as how much it's gone up. And so that if they're fudging with the crime numbers, that's why it makes sense. If you were to tell me, hey, violent crime's up and assaults are up, that makes perfect sense. So none of that makes sense. And I hope they get to the bottom of it. It's going to be tough because, you know, you can't blame the records clerk. You got to blame somebody before it gets to the records clerk when the input's happening. And then this doesn't even take into account what's happened internally, Chip. As you know, fudging the numbers is one thing, but those numbers can be fudged from the very beginning, which is what they found in Washington, D.C. You could have commanders telling people to reclassify crimes, and it's almost impossible to find that one out. But I hope they pursue it because it's not a trend we need. It's so ridiculous. Why lie about it? You know, the citizens deserve to know, and I'm glad they're getting to the bottom of it.
Hey, that's excellent. And I totally agree. And I can't wait to see people be held accountable. And the whole criminal component to that, it's actually pretty brilliant, and you're absolutely right. You could argue that is an official federal form, and if they're putting in skewed data, and it's intentional. I mean, you know, let the burden of proof be on them to prove that it wasn't, but we know that it is. And so JB Pritzker, you know, let him have a little bit of a pucker factor for a change.
Well, he don't have much room to pucker much more.
Well, yeah, you know, you're right. We just had a outside of Chicago, a illegal alien that was a police officer, you know, getting paid to carry gun and stuff.
I mean, this guy, he looks us straight in the face and goes, I won $1.4 million in Vegas just playing poker. It was just luck, he said. It's just luck. Do you know anybody that ever won $1.4 million gambling and it's just luck outside the lottery? No, of course not. But he wants to make us to believe he's just a common citizen playing $2 blackjack with his family and wins $1.4 million. And so, obviously, it's legal to do that, and you can do that. But they just look at us and lie because they think we're stupid. And I guess about half the country is stupid. But it's just, politics aside, just stop lying to us. You know, it's lies about everything. Oh, there's 7 million people out there while we show fake images. Maybe there was 2 million. Just tell the truth. That's a pretty big number. They can't even open their mouth without lying because I think they're so used to doing that, and the mainstream media is supporting that. Those days are over with, and they're finding that out each and every day.
Yep, I believe you're right. Well, guys, moving along, Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. We have a Kansas woman sentenced after a child finds her loaded gun and fatally shoots a 7-year-old boy. Not a great story, but there's something to be learned from it, guys. I'm not going to get too far down the rabbit hole on it, but this Kansas woman was just sentenced to over 3 years in prison. Over 3 years. Imagine that, having a young boy that now has got to be raised by somebody else in these really important years. This happened after a loaded handgun that she left unattended was discovered by a 4-year-old child who then used to fatally shoot a 7-year-old boy. And on Thursday, October the 16th, Tasha Dillard, she's only 25, sentenced to 37 months in prison after pleading guilty to involuntary manslaughter and 6 counts of aggravated child endangerment. And she had initially faced a first-degree felony murder charge, if you guys can believe that, in connection with the death of Davian Gunter, who's only 7, according to reports from the Wichita outlets. But it does tell the story. She had friends over there, they left the apartment, and they went into the parking lot, and they were doing, I think, shots of tequila. And so the kids were unattended. And there was one toy gun, but then one of the kids, I guess, in her purse or beside her purse on the counter, she left the firearm that someone had been posing with for a social media picture earlier. Kid got a hold of it and shot the other one. So yeah, horrible story. Guys, it's time for our first commercial break, so stick with us. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about our title sponsor, Goals at Goals.com. And you guys, we know that you can get our gear from a lot of different places, and especially when you consider going online, right? But I want to remind everybody about what's really important here, supporting the companies that actually support law enforcement. And I don't know if a company does that better than Goals at Goals.com. And listen to this. Even their motto is proud to serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, please support our title sponsor by going to Goals at Goals.com, and they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a code through me in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Goals.com. It's Radio 15. Type in Radio 15 in order to get 15% off your next purchase at Goals.com, and they have gift cards. We give away a couple every week on the show. We're giving away one today. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Goals gift card, and they will be your new best friends. Again, guys, that is Goals at Goals.com. Now it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And you know, guys, today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer 4-hour fentanyl and xylene protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually sanitize 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. And we're not done. They continue to go for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. So when safety is non-negotiable, you can trust MyTech to deliver the safety that you need. And you can learn more about how to equip your team today by going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MITEK. And again, that is ComplianTechnologies/MITEK, because the best defense starts with the right protection. And if you guys haven't been to Compliant Technologies, do that today and check out the glove. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, retired major from the Tulsa Police Department. We just got done talking before the commercial break about a female that got jammed up over 3 years in jail, in prison, after she left the gun, and a 4-year-old got a hold of it and shot a 7-year-old boy and killed him. And it's just a little reminder, guys, that if you're going to own guns, look, we want more, the more good guys with guns, the better. But be responsible gun owners and be aware. I mean, Travis, I know people, I'm not going to say who the family member was. It was not my wife, but I know someone who loves to carry their gun, but she goes in a stall and squats down, does her business. And the gun is like clipped to her side. So she puts it on top of the toilet paper roll, the little canister, little thing that holds the toilet paper, right? And she gets done, flushed, pulls her pants, walks out, leaves it, goes home, has to call the restaurant and have them go in and see if it's still there. Now, could you imagine if a kid would have got a hold of that or something? I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think anybody, you know, any gun owner hears that story and they just shiver, you know, and because, you know, that's obviously pretty egregious, and you're drinking, tipping shots, and leaving guns out. But, you know, I mean, kids are very ingenious, right? I mean, it just scares you. If you got kids in the home, you know, it spooks you. I kind of hesitate to admit this, but there are times I don't take weapons in public with my kids or with me. You know, I probably should. I probably should do more. But there are times I don't, simply because, hey, I don't want to introduce weapons around my kids, so to speak. But I know that people will have a different opinion about that. I don't always do that. There's just times I feel like I don't really want to do this, because it just always makes me nervous, right? My kids are now older, but I can remember that concern when they're younger, because you can have a gun secured all you want. You still worry about kids, you know, and kind of, because kids will be kids, unfortunately. And so yeah, I think I don't want anybody to listen to that story and say, oh, that person's a bad person. That would never happen to me, man. I think if you own guns, you should always be concerned about, am I doing everything I could possibly do to prevent that?
And, you know, people like me who don't have kids, you know, you've got to always, you know, but I have people over at my house sometimes that, or my wife does, that have kids. And so I got to admit that I, you know, sometimes I'm just walking around and I got a gun laying here. I got a magazine laying there. You know, I just, you know, you just don't think about it. I have guns sometimes all over the place. So, but you've got to get in the habit of just keeping them put away, secure, in a place where you know that it's not going to get compromised.
And that bathroom stall's gotten a lot more people than her. That's gotten a few cops out there too. You better take the little gun belt off and gear back up and get in a hurry. That's that bathroom stall you got to be very careful of.
We could do a whole show on that, Travis, and maybe that's an idea. All right. So moving along here, we've got a story with a video component, a couple of these. So let's cover these. We got about 4.5 minutes before we take our next break. So Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. Lenexa Police Department, they released a 911 call and a body cam from a June incident that leaves a guy dead.
Put your fucking hands up. Put your fucking hands up or I'm going to shoot you right now. I see that gun.
All right, we have officers on scene.
Keep your fucking hands up. Keep it up.
Put your hands up.
Get the name of the security guy. Get the name of the security
guy. What's this?
Shot fired. Oh, I'm listening to a lot of shooting.
Okay.
So in this one, they respond to the Lenexa Crossing Apartments, and this is on June the 22nd. And there's a report of an armed guy that's near the complex. The friends reportedly told police that our Cartagena Chacon is pointing a pellet gun at their chest and heads. But they say it's a pellet gun, but of course, we know in police work, you know, you're going to take someone's word for it, that it's a fake gun and it looks real. So they, when the cops get there, they see a person later identified as this bad guy inside a parked car. He's near the apartment clubhouse. And the officers originally thought that he was the one who called 911. And they see a gun in his lap and they tell him to put his hands up. Now the idiot picks up the gun and it's unloaded, but who knows that, right? And one of the responding officers, they shoots him 8 times, and the guy's later pronounced dead at the hospital. The firearm was later confirmed to be a CO2 pellet gun, which is considered the article says it's considered a freaking firearm under Kansas law, which kind of took me aback. And just looking at my show notes and stuff, the guy did refuse to put his hands up, and instead he points the gun towards, you know, at least one of the officers before, you know, shots end up being fired, and the guy dies. Dr. Travis Yates.
Yeah, I just don't understand. We see this behavior from, by the way, it always bothers me when I read these articles, and the articles start with the officers not being charged with a crime. Can we just stop automatically blaming law enforcement for people picking up guns and pointing guns at law enforcement? And I just don't understand it. And maybe it's always happened. Maybe it's just being projected on the media more. But I just don't understand why we continue to see these suspects acting this way. We'll see other videos today where all you have to do is don't pick up the gun and don't pick up the knife. And, you know, I have a lead foot. I've been stopped more than times I care to share, you know, and I have guns in the car. And it's not hard to go, I better not pick up the gun with a cop walking up here. I don't understand what's going on here. And I think some of it has to be. It has to be the environment that we're in where it's almost, I want to be a victim, right? And I can get rich if I'm a victim, and I'm a victim, and police are this and police are that. I have to think that's the case, because I don't hear many leaders saying what I just said, which is, should be common sense for 99.9% of all Americans. Hey, here's an idea. If a cop arrives at your location and asks you to do something, how about you just do it? I mean, we would stop use of force tomorrow if that was the case. So I just don't understand what's going on. There seems to be very little accountability, just like there was in this article where it was all about the officers not being charged with a crime. Well, what are you talking about, right? And so it's really unfortunate, you know. We're not talking about a 7-year-old kid here. We're talking about a grown person doing this stuff. And I just don't understand why we keep seeing this over and over again and why no one seems to sort of refute this. So it's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, agreed. Well, moving along, Rumble.com, This Is Butter. Toronto officer pleads guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in a shooting that left a man injured.
Hey, I'm not rich.
Hey, what's with the knife?
I'm just here.
Okay. Why do you have a knife on you?
Hands up.
Hands up.
I'm free. Hey.
You're down on the ground.
Hey. I'm not doing this
Dude, drop.
Hey, drop the knife.
Drop it.
Stop it. Stop.
Drop the knife right now.
Why do you have a knife on you?
Drop it right now.
Dude, just drop it. Drop it. Okay. Get back in bed. Dude, drop the knife now. What is it? Hey! Hey, put your hands on it. Get down. Get down right now. Get down right now. Get down. Get down.
Get a DS. Show. And people, you know, look, there's a video component to these stories. We don't, it's too difficult and too many things can go wrong during a live show to try to play the video. So we actually have a special version. We have the live version of the show that comes out Monday through Friday during the lunch hour, 12 to 1 o'clock Eastern time. And then the special version that's produced. And in that version, we actually embed the videos that we talk about and put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up as we talk about them. So that's a great way to watch the show. That comes out the very next day, Tuesday through Saturday at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So that's a great way to watch a show. And I'm just going to whet the appetite on this because we are coming up on our next commercial break. But the Toronto police officer who shot a man carrying a knife in a park back in 2023 has pled guilty to assault causing bodily harm and careless use of a firearm. So I don't take it lightly when cops plead guilty to stuff like this. So let's dissect this. We got Travis Shades. He's a great dissector on the show. We'll be right back. All right, guys, introducing Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision at arrowprecisionusa.com, a beacon of durability, dependability, and all-American craftsmanship in the realm of duty rifles. And yes, we're talking about one of Travis's favorite subjects, long guns. They're born from an aerospace engineering company, so you know these guys know what they're doing. And Arrow Defense by Arrow Precision demands perfection because settling for anything less is not an option when your life is on the line. Visit arrowprecisionusa.com for a lineup that matches every discipline because they basically have something for everybody. And you know, back since 1994, they've been quietly leading the AR builder parts domain, but now they're making waves in the complete rifle arena with soulless bolt actions, and that's not all. Their M4, E1 Pro, and Mod 4 handguards, they hit the market last year at arrowprecisionusa.com, the embodiments of duty rifle excellence, and they're now being tailored for the civilian customers, and that means now you guys can start getting your hands on this primo stuff. And their M5 AR 308 platform, spectacular. Don't settle for less when you can have the best. Head over to arrowprecisionusa.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Travis Yates, and he is Dr. Travis Yates, retired major from the Tulsa Police Department. And look, we just kind of whet the appetite on this next story. There is a video component to the story. It's at rumble.com, and the name of that channel, it's called This Is Butter, our favorite law enforcement video channel. So Toronto officer pleads guilty to assault and careless use of a firearm in a shooting that left the guy injured. So here's what happened in Toronto, California. This Toronto police officer, it's Toronto. It said CA, but it's not California. It would be Canada. So I thought that there was a Toronto in California, but that's just too much to hope for. Toronto police officer shot a man carrying a knife in a park in 2023, pled guilty to assault causing bodily harm and careless use of a firearm. So we have a constable, Andrew Davis. He enters a plea at an Ontario court in Toronto. And here's what happened. Davis was facing different charges than the ones he pled guilty to for his role in the shooting of a guy named Devin Fallon in February of 2023. And so this is 2.5 years ago. So months after that shooting, the constable Davis, he was charged with aggravated assault and discharging a firearm with the intent to maim, wound, disfigure, or endanger life. So the charges in Canada are a little bit wacky, but here we go. On February the 27th of that year, officers get a call to the park in the area for a report of a guy with a knife. So two officers end up discharging their tasers at the guy, while another, who ended up being Davis, fires his gun twice. Around 7:50 in the morning, a civilian had seen this guy walking through the park in the area with an unleashed dog, talking to himself and swinging a knife around and over his head, according to the document. Fallon had lost his job. This is our ends up being our bad guy. He lost his job about 2 years earlier, was living out of his vehicle at the time, and he'd been camped out in the park the night before. He consumed cannabis before officers arrived on the scene. So the story continues to get better, right? So when they get there, the cops, they engage with this guy, Fallon, the bad guy, and he was exiting his vehicle, and he had a sheath knife, and it was, you know, on his waist in a sheath and on his left hip. The officers had body-worn cameras, and they were working. So our bad guy starts walking towards the officers, and he's coming within several feet. And I remember there was one female officer there specifically, but he was told to stop moving and to raise his hands. And instead, he starts to back away as one officer tells him to get on the ground and let me see your hands. So bad guy, he starts backpedaling from the police. He's got his knife is sheathed still, and the first responders, again, tell him to get down on the ground. And then she, the female, fires her taser at him. And it was ineffective. And then he kept backpedaling as the officers told him to drop the knife. And then he unsheathed the knife, takes it out, and he holds it up to his neck. And then it goes on to say that as he cuts his neck, one of the officers advances forward yelling, "Oh, my God, shoot him." That would be the female officer that yelled that. And so another officer fires his taser while the constable follows his female partner's advice and fires two bullets at the bad guy, causing multiple wounds. So it says the bad guy, he stumbles briefly, then he flees on foot, and now they got to go chase him down, right? He's taken to the hospital. He has serious injuries, but he recovers. And he's the bad guy speaking out now about the shooting, saying the police did not try to de-escalate the situation before they fired at him. And a report from the Toronto police chief last year found that the constable that shot Davis, that he used unnecessary force against the bad guy. He did not try to de-escalate the situation. Looks like this is playing right into the bad guy's lawsuit in that our cop acted, quote, disorderly, in a disorderly manner, unquote, likely to discredit the police department. So that's the way this goes down. I got some other show notes and stuff, but I think that pretty much captures it. Shots fired right after she says, "Oh my God, shoot him." Go ahead, Travis, take it from here.
I got to be honest, Chip. I didn't know they charged the officer because I did not read the text in the video. I watched the video this morning, and I watch these each and every day. I serve as an expert witness across the country as well, so I watched the video. And other than a few funny comments I made with him running in the snow and all that stuff that you see on video, I saw no issues whatsoever, and here's why. They gave this guy plenty of chances to drop a knife, which, by the way, I don't know what it is in Canada. But that's called de-escalation. You're telling him to get on the ground. You're telling him to drop a knife. You're doing all these things. Now, maybe they didn't talk really nice with empathetic voice, but yeah, that's the form of de-escalation when you're telling him to just do something and then this thing ends and he refused to do it. The other thing that this chief, I don't know how anybody could work in Toronto, please do not apply there because obviously this is completely out of line what was done here to this officer. The other thing is where this happened, which is the context. This was in a playground. This was a park. This is a public park. You see sleds around. So it's not like the guy was, you know, in his own home in the bathroom and we just opened the door and shot him. We've unfortunately seen that before. No, this guy is out in public running around with a knife in a kid's playground area, right? And the officers gave him plenty of chances to drop the knife. And so I'm not sure what this chief's talking about. The chief said, "I found this unnecessary force because we failed to de-escalate." What were you supposed to do? What kind of de-escalation is this guy talking about? What's he smoking? Now, I'm sure he's at IACP this week, and he getting all kinds of praises, you know, because he fired another cop for legal justified force. And that's not just Graham B. Conner American stuff. Canadian use of force is dictated by Statute 25, and it reads very similar to Graham B. Conner. It's based on what is reasonable at the time, right? There's no mandate for de-escalation in their statutes. And so I don't understand what I'm seeing here, but this is why Toronto can't hire cops, because nobody in their right mind would work for anybody or any organization that is going to arrest you for potentially protecting the lives of little kids in a playground. And now everybody can look at this, Chip, and go, "But there wasn't any little kids in the playground." How do you, yeah, you know that now at the comfort of your own home at a computer screen. How do cops in real time supposed to know that? All they know is this guy, for some reason, won't drop a knife and is running around a public playground with kids in it. And now we know why, of course, because he's hyped up on marijuana and whatever else, and he wanted to win the lottery, so he decided to get shot that day. But you can't blame cops for that. This is what's wrong with law enforcement, not just America, but especially Canada today, is you cannot hold police officers to a standard that of perfection that doesn't exist in society. If we did that, every medical doctor in America would be in prison right now for killing people, because they're the number three leading cause of death. We call them medical mistakes. It's a real nice term, but they make mistakes too. This wasn't even a mistake. And so this is ridiculous. And I feel terrible that they put this officer in position to plead guilty, probably because he was facing a very long time in jail. But because he's been made to feel like he's wrong, when who's wrong is the police chief that's out here saying this crazy stuff.
So I know we're not privy to everything they said in their interview. So I kind of wish that the female said, oh, my God, shoot him. I'm kind of wondering, did she? I kind of wish it, if any, you know, I wish it was her that shot instead of the other guy. The other thing was, is that I wonder what the justification was. Here's where I'm going with that. The guy at the time had the knife up to his throat and was starting to cut himself. So I'm almost wondering if she thought that, oh, let's shoot him and prevent him from killing himself. Let's just shoot him and wound him. It's kind of, that's where I'm going. I'm wondering, and I don't know what the laws in Canada are, but he was stationary at the time the guy, they shot him. And the female, though, if she's saying, if she thought it was justification to shoot, and I don't know if she had a gun or not, but I wish that she would have been the one to pull the trigger instead of some male counterpart, you know, pulling the trigger while another dude's tasering for the second time. Because at that point, yeah, then he is running through the park with a freaking knife, and they got to go chase him down, you know.
Well, he continued to run. I mean, he continued to run after that all over the place, right?
Yeah.
And listen, regardless of what the female said, you have to be accountable for your own decisions.
All right. I totally agree. Says.
But I just want what they never tell us, Chip, in these situations is, okay, what would you suggest? Don't give me they failed to de-escalate. No, what would you suggest? You want a cop to walk right up to him and just take the knife out of his hand? Tell me what you suggest. You tried to tase him. You tried to give him commands. You tried all these things. Tell me what tools you've given officers to bring the situation to an end. Nobody wants to answer that question, and it's very bothersome.
Yeah, and you're right. And it's bothersome in a time when they're putting more emphasis on de-escalation. And let's face it, and Dr. Yates, I know that we didn't talk about this before the show, but I know you'll back me up on this. We were doing de-escalation before they even had the term de-escalation. I mean, I started my career back in 83, and guess what? We were doing de-escalation. It's like when I was doing human trafficking before they even called it human trafficking, you know, I was getting people that were doing that. So it drives me crazy that people are putting the emphasis. It's to the point where almost to where they're pushing de-escalation or less lethal tactics over the safety of citizens and officers who now feel like there's a requirement to go through these hoops.
De-escalation is the global climate change of law enforcement. It's a scam. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because first off, in this situation, that's exactly what they did. It's just not your definition of de-escalation. De-escalation is a code word for many departments to say, we're just going to find you wrong, so we'll just say you didn't de-escalate, regardless of the situation. It's hurting law enforcement. By the way, I can show you the peer-reviewed research right now that says we have no scientific basis this even works, but we keep throwing it on officers, and we act like it's supposed to work, and they have no peer-reviewed research saying that it worked. You'll see one study from one department. I won't even name it because the study's so flawed, but they literally compared 2019 to 2021 of less force. Well, guess what? There was a bunch of less things that happened in 2020, 2021. There was no cops on the street in 2020, 2021. This little thing called COVID was going on. And so stop bringing that to us. So all these departments have it. We have very little research to show it even works. So we need to be safe at the end of the day.
All right, guys, we're getting another commercial break sneaking up on us. So stick with us. We'll be right back here. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and also disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending a live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and gun learning has been a trusted source since way back in 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, the founder, Dallin Kelly, has got a deal for you. If you have your own agency, if you're a chief or a sheriff, you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. It's an amazing opportunity. You can go to gunlearn.com to get more information. Again, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're joined by Dr. Travis Yates, retired major from the Tulsa Police Department. And yeah, Travis, go ahead and leave that mic open. We've been talking about some good stuff. And well, we've been talking about Toronto, Canada, and the chief that obviously is not backing up the officer. And the verbiage that the chief made in a statement is exactly in line with what the bad guy was accusing the officer of doing in a lawsuit, which is not advantageous for the agency. So any closing thoughts on this?
Yeah, can you imagine that? Like, I refuse to drop a knife. I run around a public park with kids. I get hyped up on marijuana. I don't do anything the cops say. I get shot. And then I say, you cops, you didn't de-escalate this correctly. And then the chief agrees with me. So it's just so insane. And there are people suffering because of it. Unfortunately, it's too many times it's law enforcement that suffers.
I agree. Well, guys, moving along. And we got plenty more to talk about here. We've got an update story. And globalordnancenews.com. So we're in Maryland, and Maryland sheriffs say that the state attorney general's memo on cooperating with federal agencies is intimidation. So listen to this. So it starts off in Annapolis, and Maryland Attorney General's office said that on Thursday, that guidance that they released on partnerships between local agencies and ICE, that they were meant to help law enforcement, let's just say, quote, navigate the current political climate is what they're saying. But two Maryland sheriffs are calling it a political stunt. And so here we have Wicomico County Sheriff Mike Lewis saying that I've been in law enforcement for 41 years. 41 years. If that dude came on when he was like 20, he'd be 61 and he's the sheriff. So I guess that doesn't sound that old, but wow, 41 years. Anyhow, he says, I've never needed guidance from anyone, let alone Maryland's attorney general, on the requirements of Maryland law enforcement when working with federal law enforcement agencies. And he goes on to say that what frustrates me is this is not the first cautionary guidance that we've received on this very same issue from the attorney general's office and we sheriffs and we chiefs. So he's like considering chiefs of police a brotherhood, which is kind of nice because, you know, sometimes sheriffs are kind of like, you know, out there just like chiefs are. But we chiefs and sheriffs, we believe that they're sending it out for no other reason than to intimidate us and hope that we're not going to stand or that we're going to stand down. And in January, Maryland Attorney General, and it's Anthony Brown is his name, he issued guidance saying that local agencies couldn't share, not shouldn't, but could not share personal information with ICE without a warrant, that they must not extend detentions to investigate a person's immigration status, and that they are prohibited from contracting with private immigration detention facilities. Brown, the AG, also cautioned that agencies and individual officers, they cannot ask about a person's immigration status unless it's relevant to a criminal case. And also on Wednesday, AG Brown sent out a memo reminding recipients that Maryland law restricts how law and state or how local and state law enforcement agencies, they can interact with federal agents. And it says that while performing regular police functions, Maryland officers may not enforce civil immigration laws or assist federal agents in enforcing such laws. It also cautioned that Maryland officers must properly use body-worn cameras and are subject to civilian oversight. Wow. A spokesperson for the AG's office said in a written statement to The Sun, on Thursday, that the most recent memo was meant to clear up potential confusion. So that's what they're saying, at least anyhow. So your thoughts, Doctor?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably not unusual, right? We've had local agencies for a very long time not participate in with ICE and not participate and be able to ask questions.
I'll let you clear that background noise up, and I'll take over the rest of this one here. But no, I totally agree. And, you know, it is, you know, they're, you know, they don't put the cart before the horse, right? The AG's office comes out with something like that. And I can see why they would think that it's an intimidation factor. At least these sheriffs have some stones. I mean, these guys are elected officials, so it's not, you know, like what they say can't be held against them, right? You have an AG's office sending stuff out like that. At least these two guys have stones that are in right. Maryland, at least anyhow.
And as much as I want to disagree with it, part of that memo is correct. You are bound by state rules. There's a separation between federal and state. As much as I think it's cowardly to do that, you are sort of bound by what the state says if you're local law enforcement.
Well, I mean, that brings up another interesting argument because, you know, the Trump administration has had a time trying to get people to play with the feds, you know, when they're going to places like, you know, Boston, or they're going to, you know, Portland, that's not even mentioned in Chicago yet, you know, so all those issues. So I know that, you know, Washington State is famous for, you know, and even California enacting these laws prohibiting law enforcement from playing with the feds and stuff. So, I don't have the perfect answer for that situation.
Well, so. And the feds have every right to go into the states and do what they do, which is what the appellate courts have been saying. So I think it's a precarious situation as a local agency. I mean, you don't want that without knowing. It'd be better to participate in that than not know. It puts too much onus on each party, but the feds have every right to go in there and do what they do, and the state has every right to do what they do, and that's kind of where we're here. That's one thing the politicians are doing, Chip. Is they're lying to the public how we can just kick the feds out. No, you can't. This is the United States of America. We have federal law enforcement can go anywhere in this country. They always have. They always will be. You cannot like it, but let's not play games here. By the way, they're all lying to you. ICE has been around for decades. Democrats controlled the House and Senate for decades in the presidency. They could have got rid of them at any time. They could have got rid of the immigration laws any time. They didn't. And so now they're upset that we're actually enforcing the law. It's just a scam.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. You know, it'd be nice if the feds didn't have to go up and clean up the mess without the local jurisdiction assisting. It's kind of sad that the taxpayers are having to foot the dime on that. I mean, instead of it being the local taxpayers, it's the, you know, we're having to do it all over the country now because we got some people in jurisdictions that just aren't cleaning up their mess. No.
Yeah. And I think what's not being discussed is this mess is caused by the previous administration to let millions and millions of people in the country. That's why this is having to be done. They're not getting the blame for that. This situation was caused by the previous administration that just flooded the country with illegal immigrants. And I actually feel bad for the illegals. They were encouraged to come here. They were given benefits to come here. And why wouldn't you come here? So I actually feel bad for them. They were completely lied to by the previous administration thinking they were perfectly safe when they knew we had laws in place where they weren't safe.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to ever fully recover from this. And then you have the whole nationalization argument with birthright and stuff that's being addressed right now. So this is just a mess. And unfortunately, we're having to clean it up. But could you imagine if we weren't cleaning it up? This would just be, I mean, this country's changed forever. So,
well, I think it is changed forever. And the next time the Democratic gets in office, they'll just keep doing this, right? And keep doing this. And I don't think people understand. And we talked about it a lot here. I don't think people understand what that's going to do to your local communities in your country. If you think it's bad now, you give a couple of other Democratic administrations the next 20 years to just keep stacking and stacking and stacking. It changes this country forever. And listen, we all believe in immigration, legal immigration. We have a process for that. I don't understand why we can't differentiate between the two anymore. And it's become so political because it's really tragic on many fronts.
Agreed. It would be nice to have both houses pass immigration reform. I mean, let's just agree on it and get it done. We missed that opportunity during Trump 1.0. We controlled both houses, I think, for 2 years before we lost one of them and didn't get it done. Well, and
I actually think it's the perfect time for it because I think you pass something like this, Chip. We're going to do comprehensive immigration reform where it's easier to do. But here's the first thing you got to do. You got to leave the country because if you don't leave the country, you're not going to qualify and you're going to get sent out of the country forever. And so that would encourage people to leave the country. The citizens that are good citizens, right, are people that would do this rightfully. And so I think it's the perfect timing for it. I certainly would hope they would do it because if you don't fix this, this is going to be an ongoing issue like it has been for 30 years. I mean, every president's talked about this. In fact, you go back to some of the videos of Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton back in the day, they're talking worse than Trump about it.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right. Accountability and shutting the borders down and control and safety. And yeah, you're right.
Hillary's calling them super predators, right? I mean, everybody wants to get this stuff. So yeah, pretty crazy. Trump would be a moderate Democrat 30 years ago. That's what he would be.
No doubt. No doubt. So we will keep following it. And, you know, I was reading some immigration stats. The self-deportation is a huge thing right now because they're dangling the carrot. You can come back legally as long as you self-deport. And there's all kinds of incentives to do that. So I think that they're really doing it the right way. So I totally agree.
Well, a quick chip before we get to the end of this. So I just pulled up the stats and here's this quote. Toronto has seen a pronounced rise in assaults on officers 2021 with 2024 being a record year. So that's what that chief's getting you with that attitude. You're getting more cops assaulted in Toronto because of it.
Wow. Thanks for the stat. Well, another great show, Dr. Travis Yates. Thanks so much for being on the show. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3, helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. You get more information at thewoundedblue.org. And, you know, they just had a summit. Actually, Dr. Travis Yates was there as well. And he was hanging out there with Gauls. And, you know, it was a good time from what I understand. So I also want to mention our sponsors, guys. Please support our sponsors. They go to great lengths to bring the show to you and to make sure that we can reach you. Gauls.com, ComplianceTechnologies.com, AeroPrecisionUSA.com. We also have Gunlearn.com, Medicare.life, SafeguardRecruiting.com, TubeBells.com, and FishOrlandoBass.com. Thanks for watching the show and for your support. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.